Let's prepare ourselves for our study, continuation in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. Let's spend a few moments in prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes as to what's going on in Scripture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on the one hand, last night in the study of Revelation 17, we see, Father, how all things are going to come to this great battle and how you're working all things to that direction, to the fulfillment of your plan, to the glory of your church, the body of Christ. So many big things going on, Heavenly Father, in the spiritual, invisible, yet real realm. And at the same time, Heavenly Father, there are things going on in our own individual souls, and you care about it. And you have made provision concerning these things that happen in our individual souls. We pray now, Heavenly Father, as we open the Scriptures, that your Spirit will open our eyes as to things that you would have us to see in dealing with stress and depression, anxiety in our soul and in our life, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, one of the problems in dealing with stress and anxiety and depression is our thinking in regard to it. I got here a little early and put some of these things on the board so that you could see them and we could talk about them. And one of the first problems is that we relate our stress and depression and anxiety directly to the present circumstances of our life. And this is really rarely the case. This is rarely the case. But what's going on in our lives and what is going on is the source of distress and the depression, if it goes that far yet, but we will. We've come to another great problem in this, and that is that the source of my stress, the source of my depression, is someone else, or the circumstances of life. That the source, the reason I'm under stress right now, is because of someone else or the circumstances of my life. In other words, what we come to the conclusion is the cause of my pain. They're the cause. They're the reason for it. The reason for my pain is what is going on in my life right now related to these circumstances. Now, this becomes particularly true and is easily seen and experienced in marital problems or problems. Marriage and family, social, and even work. So what I want to do is, let's just take a look, getting into our study tonight. Let's take an example of what we're talking about here and the journey that we're on in studying stress, anxiety, and depression. We come to the ideal of relating all of this to our marriages. If he, my husband, or she, my wife, would just do this or that, or stop doing this or that, then of stress and anxiety and depression would go away. That's what we've come to the conclusion that. In a thought, if my husband, my wife would stop doing or start doing what they're not doing, then my stress would go away. So what you're saying, if you see it this way, is that your pain of your stress and your anger or your anxiety and depression is due to the present circumstances involving these other people. Now, and involves what this person is doing. What they're doing is causing my stress and anxiety that's going on in my soul. That's what is causing it. So, we come to the conclusion then that my husband or my wife is the one who has the real problem. They're the one who has the real problem. And here's the kicker, and here's where you got to start thinking with me now. And until they get healed, freed, straightened out, I can never be happy. They're the ones with the real problem. They're the ones that have a hang up. They're the ones that need to get some help. And if they don't get straightened out, if they don't get healed of their problem and freed of their problem, straightened out in their problem, then I will never be happy. See, they're the ones with the problem. And their problem is causing me stress. Their problem is causing me anxiety. This is what's causing my anxiety. What's causing my distress. So we come into the marriage situation, using that as our example. If he or she, my husband or wife, would do this or that, stop doing this or that, then my pain of stress would go away. So my husband, my wife are the ones with the real problem. And I've realized this. They don't know how to love. They don't know how to be loved. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how to do that. They're the ones with the real problem. And until they get healed, until they can get straightened out, I can never be happy. I will never be happy. Now, if this is your thinking, if this is the way that you make an assessment of your stress, anxiety, and depression, and the tension that you feel in your life, if this is the way you see things, then what you're saying is this. This is what you're saying. Pay attention to it now. Listen. Because this is what you're really saying in effect. I will never be free of the pain of stress and depression, anxiety, as long as the other person does not change. That's what you're in effect saying. So if this is your thinking, think through. Stay with me now. Think through what you're saying, what you're saying. You will never be free. You will never be set free of stress and depression as long as that other person does not change. And even worse than that is what you're saying is this. If they do not get help, if they do not get their problem resolved, I'm doomed. I'm doomed. I'm doomed for the rest of my life to have stress and depression, and I'm never going to be happy. If they never get straightened out, if they never get right with God, if they never get to a counselor, if they don't get right spiritually, if they don't get it on track of what is wrong with their soul and what happened to them when they were young and why they can't do this and why they're doing this, why he's a control freak or why she hates men or why this or why that, whatever you're attacking your spouse with, they're the ones with the problem. And if they don't get it straightened out, guess what that means? I'm just going to live under this stress, this anxiety, and this depression all the time. I'm doomed to it. I am literally doomed to this. And what does that do? That's going to take you to even more stress, which will move you to being distressed in your life. You're going to experience great distression. You're going to be so depressed that it's going to really great problems in your life if you come to this conclusion. Now, you may not think it clearly through this clearly, but this is what is happening in your soul. The real problem of my stress and my anxiety and my pressure isn't me. It's the circumstances around me, and it's the person that I'm married to, using that as our example. And I can just see it now. If my husband never gets straightened out, I'm doomed. This is going to be it the rest of my life. I'm just going to live under this stress. I'm going to live under this depression. If my wife doesn't get herself together and know how to be a wife and know how to submit like the Bible says, which means I get to control her, she ought to do everything I say without question. That's what most men think that submission is about. So if this is going to happen, if they don't get straightened out, then I'm just doomed for the rest of my life. Now, I want you to think for a moment what you're saying. Make your way through this. You can stand back from your depression a moment and think about your thought process. Look at what you're saying. You will not be free of your inner pain until someone else sees things as you do and gets them live, gets their life straightened out and their attitude and know how to treat me the way I want to be treated and all this kind of thinking. And if they don't, I'm doomed by this. The freedom of your soul from stress, anxiety, and depression. Let's look at it again now, another way. The freedom of your soul. Now, when I use the word freedom, I'm going to be using that word a lot now, so you might as well get it in your mind, because we want to be free of this stress. We want to be free of the anxiety. I want to be freed of it. How am I going to be freed of it? How am I going to have it gone in my life? So freedom of your own soul of stress, anxiety, and depression is dependent on another person. That's what you're saying. When you do what, when you calculate the source of your stress, anxiety, and depression to this other person, they're the ones with the problem, and if they don't get straightened out, you're doomed until they do. So the freedom of your own soul of stress and depression is totally dependent on another person. That's what you're saying. And some people will say, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Your happiness, your freedom depends on them getting straightened out. Or, and I'm sorry to say this is a lot of Christians, I'm going to get out of here. I get a divorce. I'm just going to get a divorce. One of the great causes of divorce among Christians and Christian marriages is my husband is not living the way I think a Christian ought to live, isn't treating me the way I think a Christian ought to live, and so I'm getting out of here. Because if I don't get out of here and he never changes, I'll never be happy. I will never be happy. So why do I want to stay in this marriage where I will never be happy? Surely God didn't do that, wouldn't want that. God wants me to. God wants me to be happy. I can't be happy because they're not getting straightened out. My husband is not going to go to counseling. My wife is not going to go to counseling. They're not going to get to the spiritual aspect of this the way I see it. And so, therefore, I just got to get out of here. I got to get a divorce. I got to terminate all of this so that I can be happy. Because my happiness is going to be dependent upon my happiness, my being released. I'm freed of stress, anxiety, and depression is dependent on another person. And what I want you to see, people, what we've just been talking about is the lie. It's part of Satan's lie, and it's part of a big lie. Now, you want to start thinking with me, not only in regard to what we studied in Satan's lie as we introduced in this study, but I'm beginning to find out a lot more about lies. I'm beginning to see a lot more and understanding about lies, and we've got a lot to understand about them. But what we have just been talking about is not true. And this is the first thing that I want to start kind of flowing into this thing, that if your thought now, kind of recapping what we've just seen, if your thinking is that my spouse, my husband, my wife, they're the ones with the real problem, and they are the source of my stress because of their problem. They don't know how to treat me. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how to treat the children. Therefore, I will never be happy until they get straightened out. So the freedom of my own stress and my own soul of stress and depression is totally dependent on another person. That is a lie. But it is a lie that people want to believe because it relieves me of responsibility. And it lets me get my divorce. It allows me to blame them, and I don't have to do anything. I can just sit back and say it's all his fault. It's all her fault. And this is a lie. Now, I know, one, you want this to be true. You want it to be dependent upon them. Not only do you want the source of your stress in your soul to be because of them, but you also want it to be that they're the ones that have to change or your stress will never go away, your depression will never go away. I know you want that. Two, you want to control them for your benefit. If they just get themselves in line with the way I think things ought to be, then my stress would go away and I'd be happy. And three, you want to blame somebody else for your own stress, for your own depression. It's not a choice. And all that stuff is nonsense. It's because somebody else really brings it on me. No, people, that's a lie. And you're living in deception. And until we come to the truth of these things, you're never going to move to what the solution's going to be. So one, you want this to be true. You want somebody else to be the cause of your stress, the source of your stress and anxiety and depression. You want to control them for your benefit so that you won't have this anxiety. You want to blame them for your stress, anxiety, and depression because then the heat's off of you. They're the ones with the problem, not me. And four, you want them to get straightened out so you can be relieved of stress, anxiety, and depression. You want them to get straightened out. But we have to stop living the lie. We're going to have to somewhere stop living the lie and come to the truth. And people, it's a liberating truth. This is not something to be frightened of. Because we experience stress and depression, we think, okay, that means there's something wrong with me, and so it can't be me. It's got to be somebody else that's causing this. I can't be the one bringing this on. And we're never free from it. But if we will come to the truth, it's liberating. This is the beginning of the liberation of you, freeing you of stress, anxiety, and depression. You can be free. Now listen to me, people. You can be free of stress, anxiety, and depression whether or not that person ever changes. You can be free of it if you want to be. You can be freed, set free of stress and depression, anxiety, distress in your life, whether that other person, that husband, that wife, ever changes or not. You reach the point where you say, I can be free of this inner anxiety. I can be free of being distressed, whether or not my husband, whether or not my wife ever changes or not, ever gets themselves liberated or not. I am not doomed along with them. I am not doomed along with them. Now, if we go through everything we've been talking about, what are we really dealing with? What we're really dealing with, people, is our view of God. That's what we're really dealing with as a Christian. If you say that I can never be free of stress, anxiety, and depression, that's your view of God. That's what you think about God. But what I want to help you and just take you to this point, that you're not doomed, and to be able to say, I am not doomed along with them, my God is greater than this. People, is your God greater than what you have come to the conclusion of the stress that you experience day in and day out in your life? Is your God limited to straightening out someone else before he can ever give you freedom from this? Is that your view of God? You're a Christian. I told you on the first, second, the message, and then every now and then, I am not teaching unbelievers. This series is not for an unbeliever in any way. They can never make the journey we're talking about. But if you're a Christian, you can. But take a look now. Your view of God, that your God is greater than this being that somebody else has to change before he can liberate me, set me free from stress. What you're doing is you're saying that God, removing your stress, anxiety, and depression, that your God is dependent on someone else before he can remove your depression. Is that your view of God? Because that's what you're saying as a Christian. That my relationship with God, my God, is dependent on straightening out my husband or my wife before he can give me freedom of stress. That's what God has to do. That's my view of God. Well, no, that isn't... Yes, it is. Stop deceiving yourself. That's what you're saying. If you say, the source of my stress is someone else, and I can never be as free of stress and depression until they get straightened out and live the way I want them to live, then you're saying your God cannot give you this freedom without first working with somebody else. God is dependent on someone else to make you and give you this happiness. Do you really believe that? Now, we haven't gotten to the whole process. I'm just taking you slowly on this journey. People, you've got to reach the point where you understand, my God is greater than this. My God isn't dependent on my husband. My God isn't dependent on my wife to give me freedom of stress, depression today. That's not my God. He's not dependent on that. My God, let's finish it now. My God is so great that no matter what this person is doing or not doing, I can be liberated from depression. In fact, not only can I be free of stress, anxiety, and depression, in truth, I am already liberated. All I have to do is to claim what is already mine. All I have to do is to live who I am in Christ. You already have it. But we choose to be depressed. No, I don't. Yes, you do. They make no. You choose. We're going to come across some very important principles in life, and people, the experiences that people have in life are not the issue. It's how you interpret them. It's how you interpret experiences. Not the experiences. It's how we're going to interpret them. Whether you interpret them according to the lie or you interpret them according to truth. That's going to be the real issue. Not the experiences that we go through. But we reach this point where my God is greater. My God is so great that no matter what my husband does, no matter what my wife does or doesn't do, never gets straightened out, my God can liberate me and has liberated me from stress, anxiety, and depression. But people, let's face it. It is so much easier to blame the other person, to blame your husband, your wife, your parents, your children. It's on account of them to assess or calculate that your stress is related to the present circumstance and related to what others are doing or not doing. They have the real problem. He or she is a controlling person. Well, he just wants to control everything. She's just a liberated you-know-what. He's just an arrogant male. She hates men. He hates women. He this, he that, she that. He can't love. He doesn't know how. She doesn't know how. On and on and on. Do not know how to love. Don't even know how to be nice. My spouse comes, my husband, my wife comes from a family that has a history of not knowing how to love. So I'm doomed. And there's nothing God can do about it. That's my view of God. Is that your view of God? I hope not. I hope that as we go through this journey, we're going to see that God is far greater than that, and God is not dependent on those things. And then you continue with this whole blaming. They have to change. They have to be healed. They have to be straightened out. Or I am doomed, or I need to get out of here. And that's the conclusion of a multitude of Christians. well, I'm not going to get out because we just don't believe in marriage, but we just, I mean, in divorce. We don't believe in divorce, but we're going to stick with it. Oh, that's wonderful. That's praising God. I don't believe in divorce. See the word believe? I don't believe in divorce, so I'm just going to stay here in the flesh and let this person ruin the rest of my life, and I'll never be happy. But if that's the way God wants it, then okay. I'll just make the best. But I'll never be happy. I'm doomed being married to this person. Somebody's friend that comes along and says, well, get a divorce. Nope, I don't believe in divorce. I believe in staying miserable. That's what I believe in. I believe in just staying miserable. Being miserable is natural. And this is the way it's going to be. Now, that's glorifying to God, isn't it? So they have to change. People, this is a lie. It's part of Satan's lie. And it's part of a long list of lies that we're going to be studying. Now, the same flow of thought that we just went through not only works with husband and wife, but it works with others. It works with children. It works with parents. Now, I'm the way I am because my parents are so messed up. And because my parents are messed up, I'll never make it. I'll never really be normal. I'll never really be happy because it's all my parents' fault. They're just so messed up. And they're never going to get healed, so I'm never going to get healed. So, you see, it's somebody else's fault that I'm miserable, that I live a distressed life, that I have no enthusiasm for life. So that's a lie. It's an escape lie. I'm doomed to be stressed out the rest of my life. Now I don't have to do anything about it, see? They have to change. You see how this goes? They're the ones that have to change to relieve my stress and anxiety and depression. I don't have to do anything. They're the ones that have to change, and if they will change, I'll be all right. So I'm dependent upon them, and that's my view of God. That's my view of the way God is. Not only is this true in regards to others, but people, I want to tell you something, this is true in regard to the circumstances. There are people who will blame circumstances for their stress, and the reason that they're so distressed is due to the circumstances. Let's know to talk about just one or two. From our study on the myth of money, the whole cause of my stress, the whole cause of my anxiety is my financial problem. I just don't have enough money. And because I don't have enough money, I'm stressed. I'm depressed. I have anxiety, and I am depressed about life, distressed about life. And I just need money. That's the present circumstance. This is why I'm falling apart. This is why I'm so drained and anxiety. This is why I can't enjoy anything. I can't even enjoy my friends. And, same conclusion, and unless circumstances change, unless I get some money, I am doomed. I am trapped in this sad, in this stress, anxiety, and depression. My being free of the stress and depression in my life is determined on getting money. That's a lie, people. That's a lie. God has to remove this problem in order for God to make my soul, the inner me, free of stress, anxiety, and depression. God has to do something about my circumstances, or it'll never be resolved. That's my view of God. Oh, no, that's not my view of God. That's my view of the circumstances. No, that's my view of God. God is limited by my circumstances. If God wants to relieve me of stress, anxiety, and depression, He takes care of the money problem. If He never does, just like if He doesn't take care of my husband or wife, I will be depressed and have stress. And I'll go into depression, and I may have to commit suicide. I have a good friend that went this route. I have a family member that went all the way to suicide, and a good friend in the ministry who tried. It just reached this point where I'm just so drained, and God doesn't really care. People, this is a lie. You're saying that God is limited to changing your circumstances, your financial circumstances, for Him to make you free of stress, anxiety, and depression. Is that what you believe about God? Is that what God, the way God is limited? You're limited by them, so God must be limited by them. I'm limited to getting freed of stress and depression, because until this person gets straightened out, so God must be limited until this person gets straightened out or the circumstance gets straightened out. And I could use a lot of circumstances. Loneliness. Loneliness isn't just something that affects old people who have to live alone. My mother's going through a great deal of that, and I see how it just drains a person of life to be sitting alone for a long time, and boy, the life just is just, as it were, sucked right out of you. And then all of a sudden, boom, if there's activity, you come alive. I love my mother very much. I remember not long ago, I went there, and I really did. I felt the poor woman was close to dying, and went home. She was crying, and just her body just looked like the life was drained. Well, people, it wasn't 3 months later, and she was roaming up and down the coastline of California, calling me how she's on a boat out in Santa Monica, doing this, doing that, all this kind of stuff. What was the difference? Activity, she wasn't alone. But this isn't limited to just old people. There are a lot of people in the world today, in America today, who are alone. And this is a source of stress. This is a source of depression. And unless God brings someone into my life, I'm just doomed to being depressed and stressed and all of this. And that's the only way God is going to free me and liberate me. Is that your view of God? Is that what we think about God? Now, that's all the lie. Those things are the lie. The truth is, and here's the truth. I didn't have time to put it on the board for you. Here's the truth. Your life is not limited by another person. Your life, and by that I mean, your life being free of stress and depression is not limited by another person. What I mean limited, meaning dependent upon them. It is not dependent upon another person getting their life straightened out. That's the truth. Your life is not limited by circumstances. Your life is not dependent. And again, life meaning your life free of being depressed and distressed and anxiety is not limited by the circumstances of our lives. Our being free of stress, anxiety, and depression is not limited to others nor to circumstances. God has something else in mind. God does something else that we're going to see. So this is very important as we move more and more into our study. And each time I try to take us a little deeper into the study. This is so important to get over this kind of thinking. It's so important, people. And I want to tell you something. It's so difficult. I'm not denying that. I'm not talking about somebody. I'm not up here self-righteously talking about someone who's sitting in a marriage where they are just so neglected and maltreated and all the rest of it that we talk about. And it's difficult to get over this kind of thinking that unless my husband or wife gets straightened out, I never will be happy. But we have to get through this kind of thinking. Get over this great lie. Get over the lie that your present circumstances are caused, are the cause of your stress and depression and sadness in your soul. That others are the cause. That circumstances are the cause. These people, these circumstances may be causing pain in your life. People, they're not the source of stress, anxiety, and depression. But it's very, very difficult. It is very difficult to stop blaming others. To stop blaming circumstances for the distress in your own soul. And I want you to understand something. Many Christians never get over this kind of thinking. They never get through it. One reason is preachers preach this. Other people have to change. So they preach this. Their friends will tell them, well, you need to get away from that person. This has to happen and that has to happen. So they never get over this kind of thinking. But we're going to work our way through all of this to find out God's solution to stress, anxiety, and depression, and realize that it is not going to be. Now listen, please. Stay here with me. God is going to give you a solution, and it is not going to be to change other people or to change your circumstances or even to get rid of other people. We're going to have to see that. A person starts out this way in life. Just think how you're going to go through the whole life. You're going to have God removing people all your life. God, this person's giving me stress. Get rid of them. You know, God, this person's making my life depressed. Get rid of them. Move them out. I'm going to divorce this person. I'm going to get away from that person. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. I mean, you just, pretty soon you're going to be in this little isolated area. Then you're going to be depressed and nobody likes you. So it's we're going to have to go through this journey, and we're going to go through it scripturally and let the Spirit show us how, that God is going to do this, and He's going to do it. He doesn't have to change the other persons or change the circumstances or get rid of people. He doesn't have to do that. Your God is so great. Your God is so magnificent. You can't believe how free you can be of stress in your life under God's program, what God has lined out. Your God has something far more powerful, people. Think about this. Which is more powerful? Removing the stress and the depression from your soul, regardless of the circumstances, or always having to work on the circumstances and the people around you? Which is more powerful inside of you? People, it's far more powerful that your happiness, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of others, is real and it's inside of you. I think of an actor in a lot of his movies, not spiritual at all, but the kind of thing that can happen. Oh my goodness, I had his name right there. But Errol Flynn could just, he would play where he was a very poor person. He was just happy. I loved some of his movies. Maybe he was a pirate, and old swashbuckler movies and stuff. He would just always be happy. Very poor, but very happy. And this is what can happen in the spiritual life. Doesn't depend on the circumstances. It's your interpretation of the circumstances, as I'm going to show you, that caused the great problem. But God has done something far more powerful for us. He has come up with this way that we're going to experience this freedom of stress, anxiety, and depression. We're going to experience the freedom of it, regardless of our husband. Now, this probably isn't nice, but if you really want to tear somebody up, be happy when they want you to be miserable. And have that happiness real, not fake. Be at peace when they're falling apart. When they're screaming, ranting and raving and throwing things, and you're just totally at peace. No stress, anxiety, depression about you. You're not falling apart. That just really tears them up. Or, hey, what are you doing? Doesn't this bother you? Doesn't the circumstance, doesn't this, doesn't that? Yeah, I understand what's going on. But it's getting back to our study of Samson. They reached the point, even your own husband, your own wife, hey, what's your secret? Why aren't you falling apart like I am? Why can't I mess you up like I used to? I used to be able to really mess you up. Husband to wife, wife to husband. But you're not doing that anymore. What's going on? What's the secret? And then you get to tell them, God, is something far more greater here. This is what God is about. So, and as we're going to see, where I'm going to take you, if you'll make the journey with me here on stress, anxiety, and depression, is abiding in His love. Abiding in His love. God is love. And abiding in His love. But we have a long way to travel before we get there. Because that's easy said, but not easily understood or done. Okay, we have now studied the five descriptions of our flesh nature, the nature that we had from our birth. One, continually being corrupted. Two, more deceitful than all else. Three, incurably wounded or sick, incurably sick. Four, full of evil. And five, insane. And you wonder why there's stress in your life? You wonder why there's depression in your soul? You wonder why sometimes you do things that seem insane? Well, just look at your flesh nature. Then we saw where Paul in Romans chapter 7 ended up in most unbelievable stress last week. Most unbelievable stress. It came on him in a spiritual realm. It wasn't even another person. This is what's beautiful about Paul's stress and depression. It was not because of another person. He came upon great inner stress and anxiety because of his spiritual life, trying so hard to regain his harmony between himself and God and working and performing for God, and he couldn't do it. And you recall, look at Romans 7:24. You recall the most stressful conclusion Paul came to. And those of us that have been there understand what Paul is saying. A lot of people don't. You've never been stressed out. You're so wonderful at your list. But boy, if you try to be good for God and perform for God, and you have the strict code of perfection like Paul did, you come to the conclusion in verse 24, wretched man that I am. And we saw what that word wretched means, and you can hear his stress and his depression. God, I'm just worthless. I'm unworthy. I'm wretched. I'm dirty. I'm ugly. Oh, wretched man that I am. Look what he says. Who will set me free from the body of this death? And that's the key word, people, I want to talk about all the way through our study, being set free. God, what a beautiful word. Set free. It's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful concept. Being set free. You and I understand the word, don't we? Politically, economically. We understand that word in that sense. We understand how beautiful it is. But being free in your soul, being set free of sin, being set free of the law, being set free of the performance lie, the performance trap that my self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me, being set free of that, being set free of trying so hard to be good for God so God will do something for you, so God will love you. Being set free. If you've never been there, you don't understand the word as it relates now to stress and depression. There are people who live in a constant realm, Christians, who live constantly day in and day out in depression and stress. Some of them are on our tapes. And those of you who don't understand what this is like, this word, who will set me free, isn't going to really grab you. Personally, experientially, but it will some. Free of stress, free of anxiety, free of depression. Is that even a reality? Can that even be true? Yes, it can. It can be true. It is true. Free of all the things that bring it on. Free of fear, shame, jealousy, anger, bitterness, worry. Seven-headed dragon that we're going to be studying later. Now, we have seen that God is not going to make you a better person. Those five things, continually more deceitful than all else. This is your flesh. This is our nature. Incurably wounded, full of evil, insane. This is our heart. We saw this in Jeremiah, the word heart. Let me put it in a simple term for you. God is not going to give you a triple bypass. What God is going to do is going to give you a heart transplant. He's going to change your heart. He's going to create a new heart for you. A radical change. He's not going to try to improve this nature, so we're not going to try. He's not going to try to make you a better person, so we're not going to try. God doesn't do that. He's going to give you a complete heart transplant in this. Now turn with me to Romans 6 to see what God's solution is. What's God's solution to this horrible person that I am? So now we look at Romans chapter 6 in this and start to get involved in this study. Now what I want to do first is to read a verse, but boy, we have a lot to look at. And slow down, and we'll talk about slowing down here in a moment. But let's just read Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self, that's that flesh nature we've been studying, was crucified. People, simply stated, what does crucified mean? Killed. Killed. Dead. Was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, the wonderful truth is that we're set free. That's the wonderful truth here. You're set free. No longer a slave. It says your old self that we've been studying has been crucified with him in order that our body might be done away with. People, this is a wonderful truth. Easy to understand and believe for some of you, but not for all. Now what we're getting ready to look at is something that God had to break through to me. I had to go through a little bit to see what we're getting ready to look at. There are many people, Christians, who have great trouble believing the truth about themselves. Believing this to where it is a truth that will set them free. See, I've come from the school and the understanding, I study the truth, I stand up here and teach it. It's truth, you got it, you're freed, and we're all going home. I come to realize that isn't true. Not especially in this kind of study. Some of you will listen to this, both here and on tapes, listen to this series. You've lived what we're going to call, in quotes, a normal life. That is, your parents loved you, treated you basically in love. And it will be easy for you to see what God has done and believe it. And then it will be easy for you to live it experientially. I want to tell you something, people. I've come to the realization others who will listen have been burdened by their parents, have been so hurt by their parents that you had to perform and they never could. You had to measure up and they could never measure up. They could never perform quite well enough, never good enough, and they just never could get this out. And they're going to have great trouble here. And they'll tell you something about others. We live in a society, and I'm so sorry, but there are a multitude of little boys and little girls who are abused sexually. There's a lot going on in the paper, and I have a friend that's up in that area, and Boston area, and they're coming out just almost weekly with even more and more priests and the things that they've done to the little boys. And this was years ago, and all of the problems that these little boys, but it can happen to little girls and people, it happens other places than there. The abuse in this country, both sexually, physically, verbally, and people never belittle or underestimate the impact of verbal abuse, because Job tells us, you crush my soul. Think about that, crush. No, you never beat me. You never beat me. You never sexually abused me. But just throughout all my little childhood days, you just crushed me. I never was good enough. I never was pretty enough. I never was, whatever it was, I was never good enough. I was always a failure, always a loser, always clumsy, never got it right, never did this, never did that. And what you did to that soul, you crushed it. And we have children now that go through, that have gone through as children, being sexually abused and being physically abused and being verbally abused. And people, I've learned, I can't just teach this truth. And they're going to, oh yeah, I see that, good, that's it. It's not going to happen that way. It's not going to just be something that's going to come through us that way. I can teach the truth, I can show it to you, but I know that believing it is not easy. Believing what we're going to start seeing is not that easy for a lot of people, because they're going to carry into it some other things that are going on, and they're not going to believe this about themselves. And so the stress and the depression and things that are going to carry on in their life are going to stay with them, and we're going to have to go through and work through the scriptures what God is going to do about it. Now, in verse 6, it starts out with the all-important issue that I'm talking about, the most difficult issue of all, and it says, knowing this. What an easy word. We just look at it, almost if you're speed reading, boom, gone past it. Well, yeah, I know that, boom. But it's not that easy for a lot of people. I could stand up and talk about it, so we're gonna have to slow down, because this is vital. What I'm saying right here is vital. The Greek word is gnosko. The Greek word is gnosko. And we want to correctly understand this word. People, it's so important to be sure you understand correctly what a word means. If you've got a wrong idea of what a word means, you've limited the Holy Spirit in opening the truth. And I had a closed mind as to what this word meant. I was taught incorrectly what the word meant until I got into the lexicons and until I let the Spirit start opening my eyes and ears as to what gnosko meant. And it's so important to know the truth and know what words mean and what they don't mean. Because if you say this always means this, then you just cut off the Holy Spirit ever opening your eyes if there's other journeys He wants to take you on. It's like people who make a declaration. I'll never do this. No, we're not talking about sin. I'll never talk to that person again. Let's just use that. What do you see what you've done to the Holy Spirit? He may lead you to talk. Nope, I'm not talking. I have decreed it. So you cut off the Holy Spirit. If we don't correctly understand words, then we've cut off the Holy Spirit. And it's so important in dealing with this word. Now this word, gnosko, refers to knowing. It means to come to know, understand, realize. Now this means that what follows, now listen, this word means that what follows is not naturally known. This is not naturally known. And very important, the truth that is about to be expounded is not self-evident from experience. The truth that Paul is about to expound is not self-evident from experience. Now, why is that important? Because from my experience, I know this, that if I am in this situation, that this is the reason, and this is what it's come from, and this is how to handle it, I have developed what we all have. We've all developed this great assortment of knowledge, this great amount of data in our computer of our brain, and we remember, and we put all these experiences together, and we can relate experiences. And, oh, that's what that means, and that's what that means, and that's this, and that's it. And we start drawing from it to draw all of our conclusions. That's why a lot of people have a lot of trouble. Because you've been wrongly interpreted an experience as a lie. But whenever that starts coming up, whenever something happens that sparks that thought of that coming up again, kapow. That lie jumps right in there. And all of that comes through. You want a real, tragic example, okay? Little girl is raped. Little girl is sexually abused. She wrongly interprets this in her soul. She relates it and interprets it wrongly in the lie that she's done something wrong, that this horrible, ugly thing that has happened to her as a child is her fault. And so later on in life, a young man approaches her to just kiss her. And all of this stuff starts coming back. And she starts bringing all of that to the present experience because she's wrongly interpreted the experience. And I'm going to say something right now I probably shouldn't say as we close, because it'll make some people very upset and angry, because I won't have time to explain it. But people, it's not the experiences we had in life that are the problem. It's how we interpreted them. Our God is so great. There's no experience that you could have had, a person could have had as a child, that God can't do what He's going to do through it. But if I interpret it wrongly and I interpret it by the lie, then I'm never going to get liberated. I'm going to show you some things about 1 John 1:9 and dealing with confession. What is the whole dealing of confession, confessing of sin? But let me ask you a question. What did the 5 or 3 or 4 or 6-year-old ever do that was the sin? They didn't do anything. It was done to them. What did they confess? Well, they confessed that they're dirty and it's their fault. And that's a lie. And they have to move out of that. We have a lot of things that we have to go through so that God can work through our souls and bring out these things so that there is no stress, there is no depression, and we're able to know these things experientially. Know what He is getting ready to say. Look what He says in our passage, that we want to know how wonderful it is that this old self is dead with Him and that it has been done away with. We're free of it. We're free of it. But I don't feel free experientially. I feel dirty, ugly, inadequate. I can't perform, unworthy of love. So I don't experientially know this. I don't experientially believe this. It's not true experientially in my life. This is not true experientially in my life that I am holy in Christ. So how can I believe what this is saying? Because I know better. I know I'm a wretched man. I know what's going on and I know what has happened. I know I'm unworthy. So I have this fact, and now I have the experiential knowledge inside of my soul. So the truth that Paul is about to expound comes from the verses that preceded. One of the ways Satan's lie works against us is that we do not experience what we are in Jesus Christ. And until you start experiencing who you are in Jesus Christ, we'll know what it is, but it's not going to be something that is real and change your life immediately. We do not immediately experience being holy. We do not immediately experience being righteous. We studied this very important concept in Galatians. And since we don't, we have trouble believing the truth. You're coming out of a nature that is corrupt. You come out of a nature that is deceitful. You're coming out of a nature and you're bringing into your spiritual life this all these years that you've been living in the flesh and in this other person, and this natural self that is now crucified. You're loved in Christ. You're loved. You're worthy to serve Him. You are worthy in Christ. But on the other hand, you do not see or experience this in your life. And so I can't believe this. I don't see this happening in my life. And Satan and your flesh and other believers are right there to reinforce that you really are unworthy. Oh God, people, if you could only see the new commandment and why God made that the new commandment, why our Savior, the head of the church, made that the new commandment for the church. Love one another as I've loved you. Serve one another in love. But we will not do it. We hurt one another. We charge one another. We bite one another. We devour one another. We can only begin to grasp all the important people have to go through to come to a reality of who you are in Christ. So on the one hand, here's Paul, saying, boy, you're holy in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. And I could teach it, and I could go through all these things. But on the other side, on the other hand, what's going on inside? I don't experience this. I don't feel this. I don't feel holy. I don't feel these things. They're not my experience. My experience is that I am wretched. What am I going to do about all of this? So therefore, this truth does not become part of your thinking about yourself. And what I pray that I'll be able to do here is to coach you to understand this, believe it, and then live it, and start experiencing the truth of who you are in Christ. Don't listen to your old nature, people. And we're going to start, we're going to talk about, eventually we're going to study about self-talk and listening to yourself and not listening to yourself. Don't listen to your old nature. Don't listen to your Christian friends like Job's friends who want to tell you that you're no good, who gossip and malign and slander and run you down and tell you all these things about yourself. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to that husband and that wife and the family and the person that tells you you're no good. Close your ears. And once we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, allow Him. And how do we allow Him? By trusting Him. Trust Him. Don't trust man. Trust Him to make this experientially real in your life. And He will. He will. Be careful who you listen to in your life. Knowing this. Now, what this refers to is knowing this truth. Well, we'll stop here and pick it up next Wednesday night at just this point of knowing this truth. And I've got to spend some time here on just this word knowing, because this is at the heart. People would be so nice if I could just stand up and say, know this, and you know it, and everything's fine. In fact, before you close your Bibles, look back with me at Romans 6 again. I want to show you something. And it'd be so nice if just one time I could go through this, and a person that has all of this stuff, all this garbage, all of this in our life, oh yeah, I see that, and boom, it's over in one day, and we move on from that point. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, and it isn't even a matter necessarily of repetition. I used to think if I taught it and said it enough, you get it. But the Holy Spirit's caused me to understand there are a lot of things we've got to talk about and work through and seeing it, what's going on. So let's take a look. Verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, and with that by faith in Christ, have been baptized into His death? Now this isn't talking about water baptism, you Baptists out there. This is talking about real spiritual baptism. John said, I baptize in water, but He will come who will baptize you in the Spirit and truth. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into... Therefore, that means you died. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death. Why? In order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. And there's your liberation. There's your freedom. The newness of life. Forget that old person. Forget that old nature. And we're going to move into the newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, and we have, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old nature, our old man, was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. And we have died to that and been made alive. Closing a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. You have set us free, not only from the source of stress, anxiety, and depression, but Father, you set us free from having to depend on everyone else around us being straightened out. You set us free from the circumstances of life having to be straightened out. You've liberated us. Christ has set us free, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we can actually have a life free of stress and depression if we'll just move into who we are in Christ. We'll believe it and live it. We praise you, Father, that you're the God that you are. We praise you, Father, that you are mightier than being dependent on others or being dependent on circumstances to cause us to be free. You're not dependent on anything. We can tap into this by simply trusting you. What an awesome God you are. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.